three, four, would you believe? One, two, three, four in our Bibles. So it's Colossians chapter 1 and beginning at verse 15. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And the Lord's...
So this is your last chance to get with the string and the coloring. Good morning, everybody. Isn't it good to be here? Let's pray, Lord God and Father. It's always a joy to come into your house, to have fellowship with one another. But Lord, more that your presence is with us. And may your presence be real to us this morning. May it just refresh our souls, draw us closer to you and closer to one another. For the glory of your name, we ask you. Amen.
Amen.
What a week you've had. And you know, the great surprise about this week is all the churches this morning saying, who are these kids who've come in? We've had some new people come into our church because of the outreach you've done here amongst the schools. They don't always necessarily come to you when you do an outreach. But God's big picture of his jigsaw, he has plans which are often different than ours. But he calls us to be faithful. And that's where the blessing is. The true blessing is being faithful. And he enriches us with, sometimes he sends people along, sometimes he doesn't. But he calls us to be faithful through it all. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. So I do. Colossians chapter 1. What a great chapter this is. What a great chapter. But I was told to prepare the gospel message. Strict instructions from the boss to prepare a gospel message. So I'm going to just move around a couple of things. Does anyone know what that is?
A tin.
A tin of what?
Cool.
And what's in it?
Lots of sugar.
Great stuff in it. Loads of sugar. Does anyone know what's in the original version of Coca-Cola?
Cocaine.
Cocaine.
Oh.
I bet they had a great time in those days, didn't they? With Coca-Cola. You think sugar made you high? Think of cocaine in a can. I'm sure the cartels will pick on. We're going to come back to cocaine or Coca-Cola later on. But there's a strap line for Coca-Cola, which is what? Does anybody know the strap line? From the 1970s song. I'd like to teach you what's there. And what was it? What was the line? And what about Coke? It's the real thing. Coca-Cola was the real thing. Have that in your mind this morning. What is the real thing? If any of you get thirsty, you can have a can of Coke during service. Feel free. The gospel reaches Colossae, a Roman colony, in around AD 60 to AD 62, and it's located between Laodicea and Ephesus. And there was a prominent Christian teacher who we know very little about, called Epaphras, who shares the love of Jesus to this group of people. And that's an important thing to note. A person takes responsibility from their calling from God to do that which he has called them to do. And all our roles are different. I want to encourage you in that this morning. But the end game is the same. What we're trying to achieve is to glorify God and to reach people, or be an example for others to be drawn towards God. But Epaphras was a minister of the gospel, and he became the first bishop of Colossae. And he was to be imprisoned with Paul in a Roman jail. And you read about that in Philemon. So a bit of history about the place. And Paul refers to him as my fellow prisoner. And history will show that Epaphras was martyred for his faith. So he becomes a convert and he starts to share the gospel in this area called Colossae. And the thing to note about Epaphras was he was faithful. He was faithful. And that's the first thing I want to encourage you this morning as a Christian. Be faithful. Be faithful. Because what you've got is the real thing. I want to encourage you in that. You'll hear that a lot this morning. To be faithful in what you've got. And I love Paul, how he commends the Colossians in chapter 1. It's a brilliant chapter, chapter 1. We could be here for quite a long time, but we won't be this morning. He commends them for their faith. Faithful and holy. Wow. Two fantastic qualities. I want to encourage you to bear those qualities in your Christian life, to be faithful and holy. They are two products of our faith which reach and impact people's lives, fellow Christians and people who are not Christians. It's one of those qualities and characteristics which encourage you to grow in and flourish in your life. He opens the chapter 1 though with reflection. We always thank God our Father when we pray for you. Their love for Jesus was there to be seen. Their enthusiasm for the gospel was there to be known. The characteristics they had was Christian love for one another. And we know this is what Jesus teaches us in John chapter 13. By this shall all men know we are his disciples. How? By our love for one another. Look at the person next to you and do you love them? Have a look. Doesn't matter who it is.
Maybe.
Possibly. 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 Do you love the person next to you? If you don't love the person next to you, you won't love the people out there. You won't. Jesus calls us to have this wonderful quality in the church. First and foremost, we love one another, and that overflows into the community. They have a great faith. They have a great certainty in their hope and their Saviour, Jesus Christ. Do you this morning? Let me encourage you. I love old people. Not all of them, but I love old people. And do you know why I like old people in churches? Churches full of old people shows me this, the continuing grace of God, that he keeps us right through our lives. And I love that. You're a treasure. I'm not saying you're old, you're just a treasure. And as I reach old age, you think, actually, I thank God for his keeping grace, his power unto this day. Be thankful. Be thankful how God has brought you to this place. You see, we all know that the power of God, and through what he did through Jesus, is for our salvation. And it was all brought through the word of truth. It was brought not through me can of coke, but through the real thing, whose name is Jesus. The real thing. And as we get into my text this morning, you will see that there is a big battle between truth and false. And the attraction of the false things but you'll see the overwhelming draw of the real thing, and his name is Jesus. They had received the seed of the gospel, as most of us have this morning. They have been rooted and grounded in Christ. They are growing as a church. They are reaching into the area. They are being faithful in all that they do. They've responded to the gospel. And as we get old in our faith, sometimes, notice this, sometimes we're not as active with the gospel. We're not. I don't know why it is, but we can become a bit, not sour, is sour the right word? It can be. We can become critical, easily critical about things if we're not careful. Rather than looking at God's grace through things, we can in our Christian lives. And we need to watch out for that. We need to maintain our walk with him, to be rooted continually in him through all times and circumstances. Because whilst our circumstances may change, our situations may change, do you know who never changes? Jesus. And his grace, his love, his mercy towards each one of us. And I want to encourage us, that's why being rooted and walking in him continually is so important in our daily lives, in our Christian lives. Because not it encourages one another in the faith, and it reaches others through our faith. And sometimes you don't even know you're doing it. That's the beauty of the way the Spirit of God works. You don't even know you're doing it. It does have an effect. You see, the power of gospel and the work of salvation through Colossae, it wasn't always that way. It wasn't like Poynton. The gospel wasn't always in Poynton. Well, look at Poynton now. How many Christians live in Poynton? There's thousands of you. But the gospel wasn't always here. Think about that. The gospel was brought here, the church has grown, and you're part of it. And wherever you've come from in your Christian walk, here you are to serve the living God. And it's a wonderful thing. I want to encourage you that God has brought you lot, Motley Crew, together for the glory of his name and to serve him. How precious you are in the eyes of God. Each one of you, precious. But it wasn't always that way in Colossae, as it wasn't always this way in Poynton. Colossae wasn't a good place as a Roman colony. They had a few problems. Idolatry, Gnosticism, there was all sorts of theologies flying around which the church were wrestling with, and Paul deals with it in this particular text. You get a much bigger feel of the problems of Gnosticism in the first epistle of John. It's real problem there, but you've got these false teachings which are going on. But you've got to think about the Roman culture. Everything went, it was brutal. There was no boundaries at all. Everything went, and they had gods for everything. We know that through the Apostle Paul. But they had gods for everything they worshipped and they followed. But Gnosticism was a big problem to them. And I'll tell you what it means. Gnosticism comes from the word gnosis, which means knowledge, or a special knowledge, is what they said. And what the Gnostics were saying was, you didn't get saved through Jesus. There was no salvation through Jesus. You got saved through his special knowledge. But no one knew what it was. It was their special knowledge, which they held on to. And this special knowledge was something that then meant there was no real morality. The flesh was evil, and therefore immorality flourished. It was a terrible thing, but it was a problem that the church had to deal with. This special knowledge that they had no value whatsoever, yet it was followed in their day. And that can happen with anything. You see how people get trapped in things and follow the wrong things. It does happen in our society. Idolatry is nothing new. We don't do idolatry in Poynton, you absolutely do. It happens everywhere around us, idolatry. It's been around since the early days of the Bible, and it's around us even still today. They worship the sun, the moon, the stars. They worship animals, pieces of rock, pieces of wood. It's not new. But this is the picture of Colossae before the gospel arrives, and it's also the picture of Colossae when the gospel is there. And these influences are against the church. You read in Acts chapter 17:23 about the unknown God in Athens. They covered all the bases. And if you're into Hinduism or these sort of religions, there's a God for everything. Absolutely everything. And what is idolatry? It's worshiping something in which replaces God. It can be anything. So it can. And modern day society, we have these influencers, YouTubers, all these celebrities. But we have footballers, we have cars, we have money, we have all these things flying around which can absorb us and be a point of our worship instead of following God. But in our little letter this morning in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23, verse 21 says, "You were once estranged, separated from God, hostile in mind, and doing evil deeds." It was normal life. Never get away from what their life was like and what our lives were once like. Once upon a time, outside of Christ, our lives were normal without Christ. It's not until you find Christ you realise the importance of knowing him as Saviour and Lord. When you find out that something is true compared to false, your eyes are opened. And this is, in our world today, we're blinded by lies, really. It's so prevalent, the demeaning of truth. It's hard to, the concept of seeing it, but it's true in our society. Truth. What is truth? All truth is now questionable as being truth. It's interesting, isn't it? You look at how people look at their lives in the world today. It's only when you find something that is true that you realise that something is false, or something that has true meaning to find that something means nothing. Only when you find out the difference can you make a decision concerning one or the other. The Bible tells us that everything that is worshipped that is not of God is idolatry. That's what it tells us about. We can make anything a false god. Things made by our hands, things made by our minds, things we see, things we hear about, things we read about. But the Bible also tells us that we can't earn our way to heaven by worshipping these false gods. Why is that? Because they're false. That's the whole thing. They're not real. They are false. But people get drawn to these things. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the Bible reveals the truth of who we are outside of Christ and reveals us the truth of who we need to become through Christ. And we'll see this as this passage opens up this morning. You see, previously they had Gnosticism, this special knowledge which they thought was their way to God. But there's only one way to God, and that is through Christ. Special knowledge does not get you to heaven. Faith gets you to heaven. And that faith was given to us by the grace of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge is not our route to God, but knowledge enhances our route to God in the sense of learning about it. I'm not saying undermine knowledge at all. It's important to know what is right and what is wrong. But what is important to know is worshipping idols is meaningless. It means nothing because there's no value in it, and it will not take you to heaven. Remember reading, I love Ecclesiastes, it's a great book. But it's, when you read the whole Ecclesiastes and you get to Solomon's conclusion, he abused this. You read it, it's, he lives life to the extremities because he can. And his decision, his conclusion, is meaningless. It's all meaningless. All this falsehood, all these deities, all this wealth of God, it means nothing, is what his conclusion was. But he had to try it all first. Now, I'm not encouraging you to try all these things. I encourage you to listen to what I say and not to follow them. But idolatry or all these other things that we follow and worship means nothing, has no value. But we still have to live our lives. Paul knows all this. So Paul knows all about the idolatry side of things. He knows all about the false worship. He's a Jewish teacher. He's in prison and he writes to the church. And if you look at what's going on here, Paul is going to show them idolatry compared to Jesus. This is what he's doing in this chapter, in these verses that I'm going to look at this morning. Look at the way that Paul knew God. He was zealous for God, wasn't he? He was a very, very learned man. yet, with all his knowledge about the Old Testament, steeped in it, all his knowledge in expecting the Messiah, all his knowledge in who God was and what God was looking to do, he didn't see Jesus, did he? He didn't see Jesus. He was killing Christians, putting Christians to death because of their faith in Jesus. Yet this man of all knowledge didn't see the Saviour. How can you miss it? Well, you can if you're not looking. It's only when it's revealed to you, you can see it. And that Jesus had to reveal himself to Paul to show him who he was. But once he encountered Jesus, he never looked back. And you've got to remember that Paul understood the history of the Jews, the whole of the Jewish nation, and their worship of idolatry. They succumbed to all these things. Just read your Old Testament. They're horrific. They fell into all the things that they shouldn't have done instead of worshipping the real thing, which was God. Who do we really worship? Are we worshipping the real thing? Paul knew in his mind all that was wrong. So when he comes to Colossae, he knows historically the dangers of it all. He just knows. So he decides he'll do a bit of comparison for him. I'll show you who this Jesus is. Let's look at verses 15 to 20. Just listen to these verses. I'll read them. Just listen to them. He, this is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, all rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. Wow. Wow. Carry on, shall we? It gets better. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's with a double wow, isn't it? The thought of that. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the first one from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. Incredible verses, aren't they? Are they not just incredible verses? For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That's just incredible, isn't it? I could just close in prayer now. Such are the power of those words. You see, Gnosticism and these false religions and idolatry was rife in Roman times. But you've got to compare all these things to Christ. Has anyone ever tasted Virgin Coke or Aldi Coke? I have. And it tastes nothing like the real thing. So it doesn't. Absolutely nothing like the real thing. You see, when you compare all Gnosticism, the special knowledge, idolatry, and everything else offers, it's incomparable to what Christ offers. It is utterly false. It gives you nothing in your life. And I get it, I do get it, that people put hope in things because they don't understand what's real. I get that completely. But they need to know what's real, don't they? They need to know that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. That Jesus is the image of the invisible God. They need to know all these things. Because there's no hope on the other side of this fence. There's only hope found in Jesus. They need to know that by him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether rulers, thrones, principalities or powers, all things. That word is all. It's fabulous. It covers everything. It misses nothing out. The false gods cover everything, and it misses everything out. Have you noticed that? There's nothing in the false god. I love it on Mount Carmel with Elijah. I love the story. Is he sleeping? Come for a walk. Nothing happens because he doesn't exist. But when Elijah calls on God, the fire comes down and he demonstrates who he is. He's never stopped doing this. He's never stopped. And until the day you die, he'll continue to reveal who he is. He is the Son of the living God. And he is absolutely real. He's utterly the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe it with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why do I believe that? Because I've experienced it. I know it to be true. I know it to be true. And Paul is writing from a prison cell where they could be saying, woe is me, you don't know what I'm going through. No. He said, let me tell you about Christ. In your community, you've got all these distractions. But just look at who Jesus is. Let me remind you of who Jesus Christ is. And by the way, he went to the cross to reconcile you back to God. Not through special knowledge, through his love and through his grace and through his compassion, where we need faith. That's all we need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. I love the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation, and Jesus went to the cross to show that all these false things have no value. What real value is found in the living God through faith in Jesus. Christ was superior. I love that word, and it means supreme or over everything. Do you think that's changed this morning? Absolutely. Has not changed one jot. And in this world of this broken is the best way to describe it. There's a man named Jesus which is still changing broken lives. And he wants to reach all those lives. And he is reaching those lives. You've had the privilege of God using you this week in the schools in Poynton with this group. And a lot of people have heard about the gospel of Jesus. Those lives will be transformed. Do you know why I know that? Because the Bible says his word never returns void. You don't believe all the Bible, do you? I happen to do, yeah. I do. His word never returns void. It just sometimes just doesn't look like we want it to look. But it doesn't mean we don't do it. That's what I'm getting at this. Paul could have moaned in prison. Oh, you don't know. Come and visit me. I need more. No, I'll encourage you in your circumstances with all these things pressing in. Christ is above it all. He is superior to everything. And it pleased God for him to go to the cross. It pleased him. Idolatry is meaningless. It gives us no hope. But Christ gives us everything. There is no one like him. There never will be. There can't be. He's the author, perfecter of our faith. What a saviour. My soul burns with joy when I think about this. It burns with joy. Does yours this morning. So how do we find our hope in this world today? Well, we live in a world of no hope really. Fear, uncertainty, lots of doubts. Life is losing its value, isn't it? Even life itself loses value. Anything goes. We're back in the days of Colossae on steroids. We are. Back in the days of Colossae on steroids. God's standards have been squeezed out of our society. Have you noticed the more that God is squeezed out, the worse it gets? Does he not infuse us to put it back in? And it will change our society? Because it will. Heaven's going to be perfect. It's perfect. But he wants us to reach our society. Epaphras comes to the Colossians with a message of hope. And a church sprouts up as one sprouted up here. And that church has a job to do, and that's to share the love of Jesus. He came into society which was depraved and had no hope. But he came with the name of a man called Jesus Christ, who gives everybody hope. The only way, the truth and the life. He came with Jesus. And do you know something? In a world of no hope, that's the only name that can change it. And I'm thrilled about that. I'm utterly thrilled that he's still transforming lives. Our society is depraved. But Jesus can still reach in. Let me tell you, he can reach in. And he is reaching in. He doesn't stop. He's reaching in. And he wants us to be part of that. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the real thing. Jesus is the real thing. They got the strap line, but we've got the Saviour. Anyone watch that programme, Fake Our Fortune? It's a great programme. And they'll find a piece of a painting where some guy or woman thinks it's worth millions. It's by Van Gogh or Constable. And they go through this whole process. I watched one the other week. And the painting, it was incredible. It was so close to being worth millions of pounds. It was worth virtually nothing. And through this whole process to find out if it was fake, all these experts all over the world, and weeks later, Fiona Bruce there, gets a letter. Sorry, it's fake. All that to find out it's fake. So a lot of people are going to stand before the living God to find out it was fake. They didn't know Jesus. Fake or Fortune. It's a fascinating program. But it's a good picture of our lives. Have we... Time to stop. Have we found true fortune that God offers, which is salvation through Son, Jesus Christ? Because that's where our real lives are. And it's... I love the gospel. I love everything about it. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. I want to encourage you this morning that these words are still as precious today and as relevant today as the day that Paul wrote them in that prison cell. Because he was contrasting the foolishness and lies of idolatry and Gnosticism compared to the supremacy of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was there at the beginning of creation, is there through all of our lives, and we will worship him one day. The beginning and the end. What does it say in Revelation? I'm the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. Let us not change or change in line with him. But I want to encourage you. Our salvation is a gift from God, which he wants us to share with others. But he also encourages in this passage, just at the end, and he says these words. Remember that you are who you once were. Sorry, I'll read it out. Verse 20 and 23. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which Paul, I am a servant. He wants us to continue in our faith. Let me encourage you in that this morning. What you have got is far more valuable than anything else you can have through faith in Jesus. But the encouragement is to continue in it. And the way that happens is to build each other up in the faith, encourage each other in our walk with Christ, and just Reconnect with Christ if you're struggling. It can happen to any of us. Reconnect. He's a prayer away. And his loving arms are never shut. They're always open. So I want to encourage you to continue in steadfast love, immovable in recognizing how Paul says, nothing compares to Christ. Let me assure you, even today, nothing, absolutely nothing compares to Christ. And I pray that the Lord will bless you this morning. And I pray that you will take the real thing and enjoy that. It's not bad, but there's no comparison. May the Lord bless you this morning.